You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Up and Adam, morning. It's gone 4 minutes past six. Snow FM breakfast. Simo and Jordan just hanging out.
Morning, Simo. You back?
I am. Yep, that's right. Back on deck for Tuesday.
So you had to pop to the capital, pop to Canberra to do a couple of little things yesterday, which is why you're away. I found out, though.
Yeah.
You had a bit of an interesting journey to get to Canberra.
Oh, yeah, that happened. So I wasn't just one of these people that took Monday off. You know how some people do that?
They just felt like a long weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't quite wait until Easter time. Just have a long weekend.
Sons of no. So I slept very little, walked a long way, and then the car situation getting from Coomera to Canberra. Are we going to get into that, are we?
I mean, feel free.
All right. Right now?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so here's how it went down. We made it halfway from Coomera to Canberra, probably even maybe three quarters, I reckon. And then it just turned around that the lift that I was in had to turn around and go back.
Right.
And then go back again. So if that makes sense.
So you went all the way to almost Canberra.
Correct.
Before turning back around to go to Coomera.
Yep.
Before turning back around yet again to go to actual Canberra.
Yeah, not a happy boy.
So what is that? About an hour and a half, hour and a quarter or so trip from Coomera to Canberra.
Yep.
Ended up taking how long?
A long time. Many hours.
Fair enough.
To me. Anne-Marie on Snow FM at breakfast. Perfect to me. Simo and Jordan with you, waking you up for your Tuesday.
And Simo, I want to talk reality TV just for a moment, but yeah, not any of the Australian reality TV shows.
No, you've gone where the reality TV reaches new heights, I think.
Yes, I've gone to America because a reality TV, something that happened on one of their shows caught my attention. So this is American Idol.
Okay.
Which, number one, didn't even realise that was still a thing. So they've got, you know, so if you don't know what it is, it's one of these. I think it was like the original singing contest before X Factor and The Voice and all of those came in.
Is Simon Cowell still a judge?
No.
Oh, damn it.
So the judges, there are three judges. There is Katy Perry.
Wicked.
Lionel Richie.
Oh, yep, good.
And some other bloke.
Okay.
I don't know. I think
is it Howie Mandel?
No.
The little bald guy?
No, he's on the other, one of the other thousand talent shows.
Yeah, well.
No, it's some bloke. I think he's a country singer or like a music producer or something like that.
Oh, good on him.
I kind of Googled him.
Yep.
And I can't remember his name.
Not worth the mensch.
But something did happen on the episode over the weekend, which Katy Perry was a judge on.
Yeah, is she all right?
Yeah, she actually collapsed following there was a gas leak on American Idol. We've got some audio of it here. This is what happened.
Do you guys smell gas?
Propane.
Uh-huh. It's pretty intense.
We're getting heavy propane.
Heavy.
Or even a slight leak, if you want the truth.
I don't know. I have like a slight headache from it.
You feel it?
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad.
I need everyone to get up and follow me as quickly as possible. Let's go.
Okay.
Now, Katie is okay. She tweeted, for everyone checking in on me, don't worry, I'm just falling for even more talent on the next episode of America's Got Talent.
Yep.
And if you kind of watch the footage of her collapsing in inverted commas, it's very much, you know, she's kind of just stumbling, you know, very clearly acting, falling over. And then the camera shakes a bit to make it more dramatic.
Wow.
And there's a guy and a firefighter over there just to make it more dramatic as well.
Wow.
So it's like, there's a lot of speculation online that this is just
staged.
Yeah. Which, something being staged in America,
how dare they?
Exactly. But I love with that grab there. So you've got all the judges kind of talking about it. But listen to Lionel Richie, just kind of, because the other two judges, Katy Perry and the other guy, are kind of playing on and trying to make it sound as big and as dramatic as possible. I don't think Lionel quite gets the point of it.
Do you guys smell gas?
Propane.
It's pretty intense.
We're getting heavy propane.
Heavy.
Or even a slight leak, if you want the truth.
Or even a slight leak.
I just love Katy Perry. It's heavy gas. It's so heavy, we can't breathe. The other guy, it's heavy propane. And then Lionel's like, it's just a slight leak, if you want the truth. Just imagine the producers coming over, talking to Lionel, like, can you make it a bit more dramatic? This is what we do.
Yeah, I wonder with that, you probably want to give the lead role to that kind of fake staged leak to the American, what, the Deep South guy? Because
yeah, he's the third guy, whatever.
You just trust his voice.
He does have a very trustworthy voice.
Yeah, listen to that.
Do you guys smell gas?
Propane.
It's pretty intense.
We're getting heavy propane.
Heavy.
See, he's very trustworthy.
I just want to record him saying heavy propane and that's the text message tone on my phone. Whenever you send me a text message, heavy propane.
Roxanne putting all night long and this morning's No Fam at breakfast. 21 minutes on the way to 7 and a bit of communication required from time to time with your mobile phone. That's what it's there for.
Well, that is one of the primary uses of the mobile phone. However, so many other uses that I barely ever use it as an actual phone.
Do you shudder? Do you have a certain person that when you see it ringing that it, you know, freaks you out a little bit? Because I do that. I have that.
Oh, who is it? Is it me?
Nah.
Go out them on air. What's her name?
Mum, typically.
Oh, Mum.
Yeah, Mum's got the Imperial Death March from Star Wars whenever she rings me.
So you've got individual ringtones for your family member?
That's right, yeah.
Do you have individual ringtones for me?
Yep. No, I'm not going to tell you. Maybe I'll tell you after we do this one. So,
I've got my phone. You've got yours there. I'm going to ring you.
It's on silent.
Ah!
So a woman messaged...
Simo just very quickly there, putting his phone on silent.
Thank you.
And putting it on the other side of the room.
A woman messaged by a former crush 8 years after she sent the very first text.
Oh, so 8 years?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a long time to... It's just going through. Like, admittedly, I'm bad at getting back to messages, but never have to go, oh, it's been 8 years. I probably should reply.
A woman has reviewed how a former flame finally got around to messaging her back 8 years later. Now, they've only ever exchanged 3 messages, so I don't know how this news report gets away with referring to them as former flames.
Well, you know, just 8 years in between messages is what you want, perhaps.
All right, so here we go. This is the message. It was sent on the 17th of July in 2011. Hey, gorgeous. How are you? With a winky emoji.
What a time 2011 was.
2011, the reply. Hey, I'm good. Happy emoji. What have you been up to? And then goes past 8 years.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry I can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number and I'll get back to you.
And he does finally get back and he says, hi, I just got your message. I had an update on my phone. It's been a long time and that was yesterday.
Hang on. I mean, my BS detector is going off here. Like, having an update on your phone can perhaps put you out for a day or a couple of days or whatever. Whose update is going for 8 years? Like, after that phone, like, if that was my phone and I really did have an update that took 8 years, after about a week, I would just throw it out, buy a new phone.
And the guy that's done this message, he's from Adelaide as well. He's one of us.
Does he actually genuinely believe that this is, like, that when he sent that would be believable? And that the crush would get back, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Updates, I know they take 8 years.
And 7 months for his phone to update.
8 years and 7 months.
Yep.
Jeez.
It's playing hard to get, isn't it?
I mean, there's playing hard to get. And then there's playing, I don't want to be get.
How good is that? Oh, Niall Horan now, one of the One Direction offshoots. No judgment. He probably grew up, was in a boy band by the time that guy messaged.
Exactly. Barefoot.
Shade and Zane, that was Trampoline on Snow FM at breakfast. Simo and Jordan with you. News, sport and weather about to land.
But
however,
before that, Simo, it's time to find out what is happening in the world of tabloids.
Today, Junior!
Today's the day!
Feeling it, we're feeling good. We're feeling good, hey?
Miley Cyrus announcing she's coming to Australia to headline that bushfire fundraiser concert next month. Did you hear about this?
Ah, nice.
So
nice.
The Slideaway singer will be joined by Lil Nas X. That's of the Old Town Road fame. The Veronicas, DJ Seb Fontaine. It's for the World Tour Bushfire Relief Charity Concert at the Lakeside Stadium in Melbourne on March 13. Now, that's my birthday.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
What?
Tickets would be nice.
Is March 13 a workday?
I'm not sure. I think it is, yeah.
Well, no.
That's someone. No, I'm not talking to you. Anyone else that wants to sling them my way?
Oh, wait, you're refusing to buy tickets yourself.
Reality TV.
Just demand to be given tickets to everything.
Reality TV regular Angie Kent's early exit from Dancing with the Stars came as a bit of a shock for her.
So she's Angie. How many reality shows has she been on?
So many, and apparently she was a little bit surprised because she failed to capture the public vote.
So, Gogglebox, Bachelor, Dancing with the Stars. I feel there was one more in there as well.
Probably a cooking one or something, or a travel show.
There's one more in there, but I can't remember which one.
Yeah. I'm not a massive fan. She wouldn't have won my vote, if I'm honest.
I didn't even know that Dancing with the Stars is still on.
One-off Friends reunion could reportedly be turned into a 12-part series. So you're talking about this yesterday, right?
Yeah, so Friends, so all six actors are coming back for an unscripted special.
Hmm.
But what? They're apparently, they're not just doing one, they're doing multiple.
So the cast there, Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Matt LeBlanc, Matthew Perry and David Schwimmer, you know, the players.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is Friends. It's an unscripted special happening this year, but an insider has now claimed that TV executives are eyeing up a 12-part series in 2021.
Interesting.
And finally, Elon Musk's girlfriend Grimes. Have you seen this?
No.
This was making headlines last night. So she's revealed an unusual parenting decision. It's doing the rounds at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
She's told her Twitter followers that she and partner Elon Musk won't be assigning their first child with a gender. So the child's going to be referred to, or the baby is going to be referred to as they.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fans asked if she's having a boy or a girl, she answered they may decide their fate and identity. So some big decisions for the little sprod.
Does the baby have a name?
No, I don't. Not yet.
Not yet.
No, it's not. Hasn't been shot out yet. So
it's got I didn't know that's how it happens. Like, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor. Yep. I'm aware of how it happens because I was born myself.
Yeah.
Shocking. But I don't think it's, like, shot out like a pistol.
No, she'll take care of business, and then there's a doctor on the other side of the room with a baseball mitt, right? Just 24, 23, hut!
Okay, so you said there's a doctor on the side with a baseball mitt and then made an American football reference.
Thank
which
you.
Which are totally different sports.
That was today.
Simo is not a doctor and should not be consulted on any medical information.
Today in tabloids, all thanks to McDonald's. The Drax Project, Catching Feelings, Snow FM Breakfast. It's thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of Kuma Isuzu Ute. We've got some Lord and Disclosure on the way, all before 7:30 news, sport and weather. But also, what have you got for us, Jordan?
Well, Simo, wanted to have a chat about this story. A 9-year-old girl's bedroom wall in Illinois in America is actually picking up radio signals.
It sounds freaky.
So what that means is their local radio station, you can pick up the local AM radio station and you can actually hear it, like the wall is picking it up. And it's not like there's a radio in the wall or there's some kind of speaker in the wall. It's just a normal stock standard wall, but for whatever reason, it can play the radio.
Is this like the whispering wall? It's like how the wall's shaped? It can pick up sounds?
I mean, it could be, perhaps. I mean, no one knows. The radio station in question, the local AM radio station, sent out a radio engineer who said, and I quote, "I gotta be honest with you, I don't know what's acting as a speaker. There is nothing I can explain of why you're hearing it."
Okay.
So it's a weird story and no one really knows the answer.
And so how long until this gets shut down by, like, the FBI?
Well, no, apparently it's been happening for years. They've been able to pick up the radio for years and they can't fix it. They don't know how.
Right.
They don't know how to fix it. But the reason I want to bring this up, Simo, so this radio station sent out a radio engineer.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but have you ever had any experience with radio engineers in the past? Because I have.
Or engineers.
And they're odd units.
Yeah, well, engineers in general, they, you know, they're more at home with pluses and negatives, you know, charges. You know, they're the kind of people that licked batteries at primary school.
It's weird.
Well, yeah, because there's a charge in it.
Is there?
So they just test that.
Do not lick batteries. That is not, we do not recommend that. We do not condone that.
No,
do not
saying,
do that.
There's people out there that have done it, but don't
do
it.
Don't. There's people out there that have, but don't.
Yeah, no, not advisable at all.
Anyway, but the reason I bring this up is some radio engineers. Like, I want to stress, not here where we work. They're all very nice.
Yeah.
But in the past, at a previous radio station, I've had an experience with a radio engineer that was quite odd.
Okay.
So he wasn't one that worked for the station. There was a problem, and so they kind of heard, oh, this bloke's good at fixing. So we kind of outsourced him for about a week or so to come in and try and fix the problem.
Specialized knowledge.
Between us and everyone in the office, we nicknamed him Doc.
Okay.
Because he looks just like Doc from Back to the Future.
Great Scott!
Like, had the exact same haircut and all that sort of thing. And he was just, like, I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's a bit of a weirdo.
Did he crank your power power implementation to, like, 1.21 gigawatts?
Is that a Back to the Future reference?
Did he?
Because I haven't seen the movie.
Was it equal to a bolt of lightning?
No. What he did was he walked around the entire office with this walkie-talkie shaped object with a big antenna coming out.
Nice.
Just kind of just holding it and like pointing it around everywhere. And every now and again it would beep and he would just make a little note of that on his notepad.
Nice.
And when I mean everywhere in the office, I mean everywhere in the office.
That's cool.
There was a studio there. There was a presenter on air. Hmm. He just opened the door and walked in while the presenter is on air. The female toilets! He just casually just knocked on and then just walked in without. I'm sitting typing away on my desk. Next to me, there's a person who normally sits there, but he was off sick that day. So he's got his chair just tucked into his desk and then his desk there. He just walked up to my colleague's desk, literally just stood on the chair and then hopped up onto the desk as if they were stairs, just holding this weird walkie-talkie shaped thing, going around just kind of looking for something.
Hmm.
He started walking across the desks, walking across my desk, put his foot right in between that bit between my keyboard and the screen, and I kind of looked up at him to see what he was doing, and he just looked down at me and said, "I'm looking for ghosts."
That's true. Like, they have the little thing. They search. I can't remember what the hell it's called, but they're searching for, like, a particular, like, trying to register, not radio waves, but it's interesting that he's selected that moment to do it in a radio station.
It was such a weirdo. And, like, so we was there for about a week, and by, I think, about day three or four, and my boss's managers were really starting to get a bit frustrated with him.
Mm.
I remember once again, I was just typing away at my office, my desk, just pretending to do work, and then my kind of manager walked past, and then about a couple of steps behind, Doc walked past just saying, "Ooh, it's lunchtime, who's going to order me a ham sandwich?" My boss just looked at me and kind of frustrated just said, "Ah, Jordan, can you do that?" So I did. So I called up ham, cheese, tomato sandwich from the cafe around the corner. It arrived, but it was missing the tomato. Oh my goodness, this was the biggest problem ever. It comes up to me and says, "Oh, Jordan, the sandwich is missing the tomato. Go back to the shop and make sure you get your money back because there wasn't a tomato in that sandwich." I'm like, "Mate, I think I don't really care about the price of a slice of tomato. I think it's fine. I think they just made an honest mistake and we can probably leave it."
I've got to be honest with you, Jordan. I think you have some unresolved issues with this.
No, okay. Well, maybe I do, but that's only because he made our lives hell for a week and then at the end of the week didn't fix the problem.
Oh, well.
It was still a problem.
That's no good.
Yeah, so the moral of the story, radio engineers,
don't lick batteries.
It's weird.
Peking Duck, that was Sugar, Snow FM, Breakfast, Simo and Jordan. 20 minutes on the way to 8 o'clock and no better time than the present to try and work out what the hell that thing is.
Yes, Simo, we're tackling a local conspiracy.
Yeah, well, not so much conspiracy, but like hearsay, rumours. So have you seen this? It's about 10, 20 kilometres outside of Coomera on the way to Canberra.
Yeah.
There's a statue or some kind of plank objects kind of stuck into the hill on the left there as you're driving to Canberra. You might even see it this morning.
You might be driving past it now.
Yeah. So if you know what that is, we would really like to know. 64572977 if you think you know what that is.
Because we've driven past it a couple of times, like going here and there, and kind of I've seen it and gone,
"What is that?
What on earth is that?" Because you see it from a little while back and you kind of think, "What's that on the horizon?" Then as you're getting closer to it, you think, "Oh, well, I'm getting closer to it, so I'll be able to see it better and I'll be able to work out what it is." You think that's the case, but it's probably not. So what is it? It's so about 20k's out of Coomera.
Yep.
You hit this. It looks just like someone's got a whole load of planks and just stuck them into the ground at odd angles.
Yeah.
And they're sticking out at the ground at odd angles as well. It's a bit of a weird one.
I've got a couple of opinions online here. Anthony mentioning it's been there since he can remember.
I mean, no offense, Anthony, but I mean, Anthony could be 6 months old.
If it's the blue metal thing that looks like a navigation device, he just remembers it's been there for a long time.
Well, 64572977, give us a call if you know what it is.
Christy mentioning, it's a sheep flinger. Everyone knows that.
What's a sheep flinger? I mean, is that what it's just something to fling sheep?
I think that's what she's gone for.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's true. I doubt it.
I would be very surprised.
It's quite high up.
I know that. Admittedly, we don't know what it is, but I think we could almost certainly rule out it's not a device to fling sheep. I mean, it could be.
If it was, you probably could hit Canberra with a sheep.
But just imagine that you're driving past, you see something that looks odd, and you think, "What's that?" And then the next minute, you see just a sheep flying off it.
Dusty, maybe with the goods here. Apparently, it was constructed by a sculptor, and the farmer who owned the land allowed him to put it there. as the artist chose that spot because he thought it would suit the landscape.
That does sound more realistic. No offence to that, also considering the other ones that we've had.
Dusty goes
Seems
on.
Seems a bit boring.
It was actually quite a well-constructed piece and has been in there for over 30 years, I would say.
So it's a piece of modern art.
Dusty's been around.
Whoa, that's a long response.
There's another one here that suggests that...
Okay, don't read that. We'll be here all day.
It maybe is a stylized kangaroo. Can you see that?
No.
The other one I heard as we were driving past it was potentially like an upside down, like, splattered skier. You know, like when a skier basically...
Oh, and what, they've got skis digging into the snow.
Yeah.
That could be it.
You reckon?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting one. 645-17-977. Give us a call if you know what it is.
Yeah,
I
if
mean,
you do.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
An upside down splattered skier.
Here's some of my favourite ones.
Like not a real one, like just a model of one.
There's someone suggesting that potentially it is a an alien landing site.
And when the aliens landed, they started singing mid-2000s pop songs.
If I was a UFO, that's where I would land.
100%.
Here's Justin Bieber, Snow FM. Yeah, you got...
Till the lights go out.
6:60 there, the greatest on a Snow FM breakfast. Simo and Jordan with you before your 8 o'clock news, sport and weather, and talking the local sculptures of which people have no idea what the hell they are.
Yeah, well, Simo, you brought up on the road between Cooma and Canberra, probably about 20 k's out of Cooma, there is a statue there that we don't know what it is.
Statue, it's... strong word. A whole bunch of planks just kind of stuck in the top
yeah.
of the hill.
Yeah, it's weird. If you've done that drive from Canberra to Cooma, you might know what we're talking about. Perhaps you're doing it now.
Yeah.
It's about, 20 k's out of Cooma as you're heading towards Canberra on the left-hand side.
Mm.
It just looks like some planks that are kind of sticking out of the dirt at all weird angles.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of people come forth saying that it's a sculpture of some sort.
Yeah, and people that I've spoken to on the street mentioned that it's been there 30 years. Still don't know what it is.
645-17-977 if you know what it is.
Help out, everyone,
yeah.
please. So, yeah, 645-72-977. Here is one of my favourites that I've seen. Someone mentioning that they think the sculpture was built around the late 70s Down to Earth Festival. Would want to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a bit of like a hippie style movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's like a hippie satellite or something.
I mean, it could be. I'm not denying.
Apparently, it was like an alternative lifestyle movement, and that that particular sculpture rocked up at around the same time.
I like how opposite ends of the spectrum we've gone, because like we had this, and then we had one just before that said, "Oh, it's just a washing line."
Yeah, washing line, aliens,
As well,
hippies.
Have been in there. I feel aliens always. Maybe it's just alien hippies
yeah.
that need to do their washing, and then it's just a combination of all three.
I like the sheep flinger as well.
Alien hippies
yep.
who need to do their washing and then see a sheep and go, ah, what's that? We don't know what it is because we're aliens.
Get
and put it on
it.
There and fling it away.
Yeah, so if you actually do know, the most correct, is that a word? Like, can you be the most correct?
I mean, correct normally does imply you're either correct or you're not.
Yeah.
But I think in this case, we will take most correct.
Yeah, most believable.
Most believable, there you go.
I've got here, but, you know, you never can be too trusting. Matthew has said that it's might be called Green Mountain Blue 2. It was apparently made by an American sculptor named Charles something in 1978 and was given to the landowner in 1981.
Okay, again, very plausible.
Yep.
But can it be confirmed? If we need other people to back it up.
And someone else named Thumper has backed that up. Mentioning that he reckons it was a Sir Charles Kingsford Smith. Always chuck a Smith in there for if it's English, you might be half a chance. So lots of people considering they might know what it is, but if you do,
so is that
we'd
what we're going? Is that what we're going with? Is that what
yeah,
it is?
I reckon that's what we'll go with. We've got a call coming through this morning. Good morning. Who have we got there?
Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Anne-Marie. Have you got a bit of an idea on what that sculpture is out beyond Cooma?
It is 100% called Green Mountain Blue 2.
Oh, boom!
Confirmed.
There it is. Nice. Anne-Marie, thank you very much for the call, clearing that up. There's the ding for you. Have a great day.
There's like a full story about it and why it's there and how it's something about how it depicts the mountain behind it. There's like the angle matches the
sun. Okay. Okay, nice. Anne-Marie, what do you think it actually looks, though? Like, do you think it's just like a whole bunch of planks stuck in the hill?
But we always said it looked like a coat hanger. Growing up, we always said it was a sheep slinger. That's how you got the sheep from one side of the road to the other.
Well, half a chance there. At least we got a few answers this morning, Jordan. How good's that?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for the call, Anne-Marie. And finally, we know what it is.
Mind.
Mwah. Do you, Leaper? That was Blow Your Mind, Snow FM Breakfast. Simo and Jordan right here with you, 20 to 9.
And Simo, it is the year 2020, which is an Olympic year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Tokyo?
Tokyo Olympics. Oy. Happening a little bit later on this year.
Hmm.
Something you might not know about me. I'm actually a really big fan of the pole vault.
Such lies.
No,
liar.
I am.
Okay.
I remember watching the last one in Brazil.
Okay.
And it was like, it got down to the final two pole vaulters. There was this some guy that was like a record breaking and some local Brazilian youngster who kind of pushed him all the way. It was quite exciting.
So what really does it for you?
It's just, you know, one of those weird sports. The Olympics has a lot of them. They're weird sports where we don't care about them for 4 years.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Then all of a sudden the Olympics happens and all of a sudden we're really into like pole vaulting or like the shot put, which is essentially just throwing a stone.
I think I still am a shot put record holder at my local little athletics.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
When did you break the record? Was it like last year?
Nah.
Like little athletes, all these 10-year-olds and then just you as like a 25-year-old. Oh, yeah, one. Woo!
No, I think I was 12.
Well, Simo, one pole vaulter. Look, I saw this the other day and it may force me to reconsider my love for pole vaulting. He copped a quite unfortunate injury.
Yeah.
Now, Simo, you don't know what it is. However, I've got the video on your computer. You haven't seen because this was filmed. So, Simo, here's what. I want you to play the video and I want you to be like a sports commentator.
Okay.
Pretend that you are the pole vaulting commentator.
Yes.
And commentate exactly what is happening to this gentleman. If you don't know, by the way, the pole vault's the one where they run essentially with a massive pole and use it to kind of limber themselves up and over a bar and then land on a crash mat.
So did you have a particular type of commentator that you'd want, like Italian soccer commentator or British cricket or...
Look, just don't be a South American soccer commentator. The ones that go, go! Don't be one of them forever, because otherwise the next half an hour will be the oh! Yeah. Actually, just side note, my favourite part, if you ever watch like South American soccer and you see them score a goal, the commentator goes, go!
Yeah.
And then they take a breath halfway through.
Go! Yeah, they do.
So it's like, go! Oh! They keep on going.
All right, here we go.
All right, so here you go. So here's the video. There's no sound on this, but you'll be able to commentate what is happening.
Okay. All right, here we go. He's up over and... Oh, Jordan. I don't want to commentate on this.
So the pole...
Oh, that hurts.
So he's... So far, so good. So he's jumped up. He's over the bar. He successfully handled the bar. But on the way down...
Yeah.
The pole was still standing almost upright.
Yeah, I'll do the...
Don't pause it. It looks worse.
I'll do the English cricketer, so...
Go on.
Here he is on approach as he comes toward the high jump bar. The mat looks soft. He goes up. The stick bends. Oh, and he's taken that one square in the nether region.
Yes, we'll put it this way. if he was playing cricket, it would have hit him in the box.
Yeah, that was a solid hit. So that's the pole vault, like the pole, has then decided to stay where it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And on his way down over the jump, he's copped it right in the nether.
Would you like the technical term?
Yes.
And I can only apologise for this.
Mm.
But the pole ripped through...
Ooh.
His testicles.
Wow, the undercarriage.
He required 18 stitches to fix it up. Luckily, this guy is okay. We should say he's perfectly fine.
Makes me feel a little sick, if I'm honest.
Makes me feel sick as well. He required 18 stitches in that area. Fortunately, though, his pole vaulting coach actually doubles as a urologist. So was able to kind of straight away snap into gear.
What are the chances of that?
Well, okay, so that would seem quite good. However, Simo.
Yeah.
There is one little detail that I've missed out, which I'm going to let you know in a minute, that I've missed out as to why that would not be good, as to why you would not want your coach helping you in that area, even though he's a trained urologist.
Yeah, why is that?
He is also your dad.
Yeah, in all honesty, I don't mind that.
Really?
Yeah, nah, because you want someone you trust, don't you? Dealing with that.
I don't want my dad. No.
Really? So you'd prefer someone that you didn't know?
Well, I mean, I'd prefer... Yes! And someone that I'd never have to see again in my life.
Oh, really?
Can you imagine that family Christmas? So, son, how are you going?
But it's quite, like, He is your father. It's an ancestral...
I know, but it's weird. And this guy is like in his 20s or something like that. It's weird having your dad...
Yeah, but your dad...
helping out.
Your dad is also going to be committed to continuing on the family line.
Don't get me wrong. 100% like,
ancestrally.
Yes.
So he's going to be very committed to the job. He has the professional knowledge.
Mm.
And so he was really probably the perfect for me. That's a triple threat in that situation.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, if this happens to me, I 100% want a professional who is dedicated to keeping me alive and keeping that area intact.
Mm.
Just not related to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree with you. I think that is probably the best three things that he possibly could have had.
Well, Simo, good news for you.
Be a pole vault instructor. The injury has happened during a pole vault.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he's a specialist in the region of where the injury occurred. And thirdly, he's very invested in you returning back to health.
Well, Simo, good news for you is that I have prepared a pole out there. We've got a vault in the car park. And bring in Simo's dad!
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. We're not doing that. I couldn't. He lives interstate. I couldn't fly him in.
18 stitches.
18 stitches. Very painful. Look, I think my love for pole vaulting may very much be, under threat.
There's a quote from the pole vaulter, Zach, who basically says that he could see right in there.
That's not an area you want to see right in.
Not good. He's hoping it's going to be functioning in the future.
Fingers crossed. Otherwise, you know who to blame.
Instead.
Hey, Dad, you did a dodgy job.
Nelly spitting a rhyme, hot in here, Simo and Jordan, and things heating up this morning. 10 minutes on the way to 10.
And Simo, somewhere else that heats up is an oven.
That is also true.
And that is where you cook pizza, which is what I want to talk about now, because a pizza has been cooked in an oven. So far, not remarkable. However, this pizza has broken a Guinness World Record.
Is it a size issue?
It is not.
Is it a spice issue?
It is not.
Oh.
It is a quantity issue.
Oh, okay.
So this pizza has broken the Guinness World Record for the pizza with the most varieties of cheese on it.
Right, okay. Yep.
Now, when you think pizza, what country immediately springs to mind?
Italy.
That is exactly next to where this record was broken because this happened in France.
Oh, yeah.
The old Guinness World Record was actually held by a Melbourne restaurant, so sadly we've lost the world record.
Well, get them on the phone.
That had 154 varieties of cheese on.
Wow.
And they broke that record in September of 2018. But this new pizza in France, have a guess how many varieties of cheese we're talking. So that was the old world record. It had 154. So it has to be above that.
And so if they'd gone 200, they would have gone 200.
They've gone over the 200 mark.
Yeah.
In fact, they've gone over the 250 mark.
That's just showing off.
257 varieties of cheese have all been put on this pizza made in France. And if you, I mean, the French do have a lot of cheese.
Yeah, clearly.
A lot of different varieties of cheese. And obviously, they don't really know what they're going to do with it because they're going to stick it all on a pizza. And would you even, if you had that many varieties of cheese on one pizza, would they just all melt together and you wouldn't be able to taste them?
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be a pleasurable kind of eating experience, but do you think we need that many varieties of cheese in our life?
Look, I mean, a lot of these varieties of cheese are probably very similar.
Like, flavoured milk is pretty amazing, but you cannot tell me that there's 270 flavours out there. You know, like one brand will maybe, they'll go with eight.
So what, so we got chocolate is a staple.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
Banana.
Yep. Chocolate malt.
Coffee?
Coffee, yeah.
Coffee. Yeah, well, there's not going to be 250.
You're not going to do another 200 of those.
Well, I mean, maybe we should. Maybe this is a market we should tap into.
You should make it your life's goal, because you don't mind
salami
the
salami-flavoured chocolate milk.
No, like, you don't mind the cheese platters, right? You're big into the anti-pesto kind of entree things.
Yeah, look, a cheese platter. If someone was to bring in a cheese platter, I certainly wouldn't say no.
And they've got a special knife as well, don't they, with the little kicks on the end of it. Like
a cheese knife?
Yeah, in order to cut...
It's got a name. I can't think of it.
Does it really?
I can't think of it.
All right.
It's just called a cheese knife.
Is it?
Yeah. And that cheese knife would have certainly got a lot of work cutting up 257 varieties of cheese to pop on this pizza. Here we go. Simo is Googling.
Oh, a gorgonzola.
No, the gorgonzola is a type of cheese.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Gorgonzola knife. Hard cheese knife. Fork tip spear.
No, it's called something. It's not called any of that. Anyway.
A rind cutter.
Move on from what the knife is called.
An almond knife. I assume that's just one for cutting almonds.
I mean, yes, probably would be.
I do have a knife maker. Should we give him a buzz? Like, I've got a knife maker that we can call.
I mean, if you think he's got nothing else to do.
He probably does have a bit of work going on.
All right, should we give him a call next?
No, we can try. Rapunzel letting her hair down draft this morning. Snow FM, Simo and Jordan right here with you.
And Simo, We're actually live calling someone right now.
Yeah, yeah, because we've been discussing the cheesy issue this morning.
Yeah, well, so pizza in France has broken the world record for the most amounts of cheese on it. We're actually calling a knife shop to try and work out.
Knife shop, this is Nathan.
G'day, Nathan, it's Simo. You're live on Snow FM. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Now, we've called you because you run a knife shop, right? You're a local owner there?
Yes, I am.
And
I am.
So this morning, we've come across the fact that the French have 276 cheeses on offer, and we're just looking for the name of what a cheese knife is actually called.
A cheese knife?
Yeah. So is there a different name that you sell it under? We're just checking.
A brand?
Yeah, maybe. Or is there like, I've got, Google has given me this one, a Girol.
Girol.
One of those?
I have no idea.
So, how long is a cheese knife likely to last?
Sorry, what was that?
How long is a cheese knife likely to last if it's got to cut through 276 different cheeses?
Look, if you get a really good one, and you cut on a nice wooden chopping board,
yeah,
it might last the whole hog. I reckon you'd have to get a good one, though.
On average, though, so how long does someone come back with a cheese knife to your shop?
I have not sharpened... I'm probably sharpened, like, one cheese knife in 10 years.
Oh, so right, reckon, so they should be fine.
So they last an average of 10 years.
Well, look, don't quote me on that, otherwise I'll get
we have quoted you on it.
With their cheese knives that don't last 10 years.
Nathan, from the Cutler's Cottage, thanks very much for the info this morning, mate. We've been really puzzled by that.
No worries. Hopefully I've shed some light on your situation.
Thank you for your time, Nathan.
There you go. So easy as you like.
There you go. Just find out. So, what was the point of all that?
Just to make sure that we got the right name for the cheese knife.
Probably wasn't worth wasting a knife shop owner's time in hindsight.
We're out of here. We'll catch you tomorrow.
See you then.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, listen to Snow FM from 6 to 9 weekdays.